Hello everyone, I'm Alex and I am so glad that you could join me for Happy Hour on this Family Tree podcast, episode 204. And I need to apologize right off the hop, okay? Because last week I was calling that episode 204 and it totally wasn't. It was episode 203. And if that isn't a glimpse into my brain right now, my life right now, I don't know what is. I'm a mess. I'm so busy and I'm just trying to kind of stay on top of everything. So because of that, you know, I wanted to have some fun. And don't get me wrong, I have lots of fun with Shane on the pod, but I just wanted to have some girl time. I had a lot of fun with Renee Rena when she came on the other week. So I invited another book club bestie, Ariana Joy Christie. So you might know her on Instagram. She's at Ariana Joy Christie. She's got three beautiful babies, twins, and then a baby daughter. And we're going to chat her motherhood journey, perfection in motherhood, balance, and losing our cool and how not to lose your cool when you have angry toddlers. So here with us today, welcome Ariana Joy Christie. How you doing?
How are you?
I am so good. I'm so happy that you're joining me tonight, by the way, Ariana. And not only that, you went and got a babysitter.
I did.
And went to the office to do this pro. I love it so much. I have antler horns behind me right now.
I love it.
I'm working on a better setup. I swear to God, I bought like stuff. It's in the basement. I just have to set it up.
This is great.
That you're being generous. You're being generous. But Ariana, I intro'd you. And are you ready to get going?
Yeah, for sure.
So Ariana, we were both doing the same thing according to Instagram, sitting out front of our kids' rooms waiting for them to fall asleep so we could go and get on with our lives and try to squeeze, you know, 50 million things into the 3 hours before we go to bed.
Literally.
So when I look at you, so I've been friends with you for, I don't know, like a year now, I think I've known you.
I think so, yeah.
Going on that. And when I picture you in my brain, you seem like, to me, you're like a seasoned mom. You're like, I want to go to you and tell you my problems. Have you kiss me on the forehead and tuck me in at night and tell me everything's going to be okay. Whereas I feel like such a brand new, crazy, frazzle-brained mom. And like I saw somebody post the other day online, they were like, oh, you know, I'm just a new mom. And I laughed. I'm like, no, you're not. Your kid is five. Like, you're not a new mom. And then I stepped back and I was like, no, I feel the same way. But I want to, do you feel like that? Or do you feel like the seasoned mom I imagine you to be?
No, like the fact that you're saying that is so funny, because all day today, I was like, I kept saying to every person I saw, like, oh, I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off today. I had coffee on my shirt. I was like, what's the plan for tonight? I don't know what's for dinner. I don't know how I'm going to fit everything in. We had swimming lessons after school. Like, it just never stops, you know? And so thank you for saying that you think that about me. But I think that's maybe, like, we're our own worst critics. We're the hardest on ourselves. Yes. And it's kind of nice to know that I'm not the only person that thinks that I'm failing 24/7 and like a new mom, because I feel like I'm just like faking it till I make it. And every thing that I have coming up, I'm like, oh yeah, after that weekend, like then it will get easier. After this happens, then it will get better. And then like something more happens and it's a never ending cycle.
No, I say that every 2 weeks. I'm like, oh, once we get past this, we're going to be okay. And we'll be able to, you know, kind of take our time. We'll stop floundering. But it's like, no, there's always something. And I just realize more and more that that's the nature of life. And everybody's just kind of keeping their heads above water to the best of their abilities. But your kids are young. Like, you still have a little one.
Yeah.
Tell us, so for those people who don't know you, for listeners, give us a little glimpse of your family. How old are your kids?
Yeah. So I have twins who are three. They turned three in February. And then my daughter is a year and a half. So it's a full household. It was three under three before the twins' birthday. So they're close in age. They're only 18 months apart. It's busy.
That makes me want to vomit.
Yeah.
It does. It makes me want to vomit. Your kids are adorable and you like look great doing it, as I said. But that kind of stress makes me want to vomit. Yet I see you and like, don't get me, like, you're super relatable. You're everything. But then you make the most beautiful sourdough. And like you, for a book club, you had the best spread out of all the book club people. No offense, everybody else, but you had the best spread and you did everything.
This is the thing though. That's what brings me joy. Like sometimes people, my mom will be like, why are you doing this to yourself? Like, why are you creating another child and having a sourdough starter that you need to feed every day when you can, I can't even feed my own self. Like, I know it's outrageous, but that's what brings me joy. Like, that's my one thing. You know, there's people that read, there's people that like, there's a million things you can do for self-care. But one of the things that I love to do is bake. It brings me joy. The whole process of it, giving it to people, like I love giving gifts and giving things, and what better thing than something that you've made with your hands? It's just something that fills my cup. And so that's why I do it, not to add another thing to my plate. And we all have to have that thing. Like you have to have something that really like relaxes you and recharges you to keep you going in the craziness of life.
100%. And I do need to talk to you more like off camera about the sourdough starter, because I do want to come up to Guelph and grab some for you, because from you, because it does, it looks relaxing.
It's so like doing the scoring and the art, and my kids love to eat it. Like I have very picky kids. That's what I kind love of inspired. To eat it. There's three ingredients. It's clean. Is that it? Yeah.
See, and this is what like I love watching the moms who are like baking beautiful things and everything like that, and I just find it relaxing. Like sometimes I'll sit there and I'll watch like I don't even think they're trad moms. I think they just like cooking, and it just looks so relaxing, and they all have like relaxing voices, and then it gives me the same vibe where I'm like, oh, tuck me in and like tell me all my problems are going to be okay. And I want that for myself. And I'm like, maybe if I start baking sourdough for fun instead of like necessity, maybe it'll bring that to me. I don't know.
Totally. I'm going to help you on this journey.
I appreciate that. But, you know, there is so much pressure to kind of do lots of things. And like, you know that. I mean, you are in real estate. You're a content creator. You just are about to start a podcast. Congratulations on that. That's huge. What's it?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I love that. Because wait, is Joy your maiden name or your middle name?
Joy is my middle name.
I love that.
Yeah. I thought it really fit because similar to the sourdough thing, like you have to find what fills your cup. And I think in parenthood, especially in motherhood, we just always put ourselves last. Like I was driving here and I was like, wow, I've eaten one thing today. Like it's 7:50 PM. And also I think I've drank one cup of water, like powered through four coffees, but like, How can I not just even fill my like natural things that I need, like food? You know what I mean? It's like we always put ourselves last, but you can be sure that my children ate and I made sure that they took their vitamins and they drank their water. You know what I mean? So I think it's all about just prioritizing ourselves and doing something for us. And sometimes like I find myself all the time feeling so guilty if I go to the gym or if I take time to bake sourdough or to do something that's like making me feel good, even just reading a book or like watching TV for a minute. I'm always thinking that there's something else that I should be doing. And then I'm resentful. Then I'm like, oh, how come everybody else can be going to the gym? And how come, you know, my husband can go for a haircut, but I can't go do something like that. And it does create this resentment. And so the whole premise and the whole thing and my whole inspiration this entire year, I think, and mantra is to just do more for yourself and like breaking the cycle of, or like debunking the myth, I guess, of self-care being selfish, because it's not. It's actually helping us show up better in all aspects of our life. Like I can do my job better. I can be a better mom. I can be a better wife. I can be a better friend when my cup is full.
100%. Even you just saying like, oh, my husband get a haircut and I can't. Shane went to the dentist today and I was freaking jealous. I was like, no, I have a cavity that needs to be filled. Like, I've had mine longer than you have. I need to go get this done.
Like, how wild is that?
I know, but it's like, it's when the heck do I find time? And then I get a little bit resentful that he works out of, we both work out of the home, but when I work out of the home, I can't leave where I'm working. When he works out of the home, he's in an office, he's not Like, he doesn't have anybody relying on him, so he can go to the dentist. He can go out for lunch. He can go pee when he wants to. I can't do those things. So I'm like, I'm either stuck in that or I'm stuck in the house with the kids. And it's like, what am I going to do? Bring them to the dentist while I'm getting a cavity filled? No, my freaking molar is just going to rot away. Like, I need to take care of this.
Totally.
What the hell? How do you manage that? Because I always think that I'm going to be better at, like, managing it than I am. You know what I mean?
1,000,000%. Like, when you're saying, how do you manage it? I don't think I manage it well. I don't think I'm a professional at this in any sense. I feel like I am very new at this also. And I'm just trying to every day do like one thing mm-hmm. for me and like slowly build that. And I'm really trying to focus on communication with Mike, my partner, about that, because like what you're saying resonates so much with me, because we both have the same job mm-hmm. and then I have another job on top of that. And then we're also parents. So I was like thinking about this the other day and I'm like, how does this happen? And then I really started thinking, well, you know, I had a baby a year and a half ago. I went on mat leave, which I didn't really, because I'm self-employed, as I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. And so because I was at home primarily, because I was nursing and with the baby and whatever, I started to take on more of the household roles, like cooking and cleaning and the kids' laundry and getting them ready and getting their backpacks packed and all of that stuff. And then when I slowly started going more like back to work more often, those roles continue to stay with me. Mm-hmm. Those responsibilities are still mine. So I took more on to my plate when I was on mat leave in terms of household duties. And then when I took my other roles and responsibilities back at work, no one took those away from me. I just took on more and more and more. And so I was like the other day, I was like, have you cooked dinner in like a month? Like, or even thought or like told me what it was going to be and got the groceries? Cause that's like the other piece of it, like the mental work behind that.
Oh my God.
And so I'm trying to, instead of picking a fight, which I'm very good at, I'm trying to start to communicate that better, that like, this is a family household role and responsibility. This is not a me responsibility anymore.
No, it's hard. And it's like, it's not even the other people taking them away from us. Because, I mean, in a perfect world, that would happen. But truthfully, people don't even realize outside of our – like, our brains are crazy. Their brains are crazy. It's hard for them to see just how much we're taking on. Only we know that. So for me, because I found myself in the exact same position, I was working full-time, went on mat leave, and then I started doing content creation as well. And then the baby was born, then I was doing content creation and all of the childcare because my husband went back to work full time. And then I did all the household stuff and then I went back to work too. So I'm like working, content creation, baby stuff. My husband is still out of the house most of the time. But then I've locked myself in to this position of being the main house boss. And not only that, but like the main kid boss. And it's like, it's tricky because I don't want to be, but at the same time, I'm the only person who knows what the kids exactly need at bedtime. Like, they're fine. They'll go to bed with Shane. But if we're both home, they both want me every night. They won't go to bed unless I spend time with both of them equally. And it's a freaking mess. And it drives me nuts. So half the time, I just do bedtime by myself because it goes quicker.
Yep.
It's so hard.
I'm with you. 1,000%. It's so difficult and it's hard to manage and to know like what is right and wrong. Cause I started, there was a period of time when all three kids could only have me.
Oh man.
And then I was getting resentful and I was getting upset and it was just like so exhausting. I wasn't like enjoying my time with them. Mm-hmm. I was just like, when is this going to be over? And so I started leaving the house at bedtime.
Yeah.
Because if I left, they were great with Mike and they were happy and Mike and the kids had like an amazing time. But if I was home, terrible. And then when I left the house, I started feeling guilty. Like there's no winning.
It's so hard. I'm curious, how did it go over with Mike when you started leaving and then he started doing bedtime? Like, was he cool with it? Was he happy with the change up or like, was that tricky?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. See, because he wants that time with them. Like he wants those responsibilities too. Like I know I'm kind of complaining a little bit being like, oh, it all falls on us, but he wants to help also. And he, or not help, trying to change my language around these things because it's my thing that is helping them. He wants to take on that responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's nice for him to have that quality time with them. Like he has 100%. A good time. He gets to read them a book and talk about their days. And so it had worked really well mm-hmm. when that was happening. Now they're a little bit older. Like every stage is a bit different. Now they can handle like mom's home, but we're going to go to bed with dad and it's fine. But
that's a good stage. No, but I like that move. I like the move of just leaving because that would be the only way. And that has been the only way that the kids go to bed with Shane if I'm home.
And they probably enjoy it. It's probably nice for both Shane and the kids.
He loves it and they love it too. And because they're like sillier. I'm like stricter at bedtime. Because I do it all the freaking time. So I'm like, stop. Like just so over all of it. But I like it when they're being good, obviously. And then with him, he doesn't mind getting silly and he plays. So then they like it for that reason. And then it's a nice, cute bonding time that they get to have together. But it requires me just literally not being there, much like that.
Which I think is kind of like a cool way that, like when you're saying that you're kind of more strict because you're doing it all the time. Mm-hmm. And like it gets old when they're asking for water 17 times before bed. I'm like, can you stop? But for like Mike or for Shane, if they're not doing it all the time, mm-hmm. it's not that annoying to them because it's not as often.
It's like and a novelty. Kind of.
Yeah. And if you can leave the house and do something for you and they can take on that responsibility a couple of nights a week, then on the nights that you are doing bedtime, like you'll have more energy to do those things and your cup will be a little more full because you're doing something for yourself. So I think like actually splitting those responsibilities is beneficial for everybody.
It's key. But that's not going to happen unless you talk about it. And like I talk to a lot of girlfriends and, you know, sometimes they'll be complaining like, well, I don't want to write the list for my husband. I don't want to have to tell him what to do. He should just know or just ask. But then a part of me is like exactly what you and I were just saying about when we go on mat leave or whatever and we take on the responsibilities, they just slowly build before it's untenable. And then nobody really knows the responsibilities that we have other than ourselves. So we kind of do need to start that with like a, here's what I'm doing, lay it out. Like here are all the millions of things that I'm doing just at home, not even in regards to my job. And then here are all the ways in which I could really use help. And now that you know, feel free, step in, do it.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like you said, it's not help. It's changing that vocabulary, not help, but
yeah,
take on your share of the responsibilities, the mental load. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I suck with mental. Oh my God. Like I get appointments wrong. I thought I had a tattoo appointment today. I have one tomorrow. I'm getting a tattoo.
Ooh,
I'm really excited. But I was like prepping myself. I'm like, it's today. And then I went to leave for it. And then I got an email saying, oh, get ready for your appointment tomorrow. But it's like, I do this with everything, with doctor's appointments, but for the kids. Like I have shown up to the pediatrician maybe 3 times a month or two before the appointment even is. It's so hard. So
difficult to keep track. I tell people all the time, like my full-time job is scheduling our lives. Like how does that take so much time? But putting everything in the calendar, making sure that everything, there's enough time in between things to drive to all of the activities, to pick the kids up from school. Like I don't know how the hours of 8:30 to 3:30 go by so stinking fast.
Oh, it's insane.
Like by the time I'm ready to pick them up from school, I'm like, did I get anything done today? You know what I mean?
It's so hard. Yeah.
But scheduling is so, so difficult. And that's all, like you said, the mental load, and it's all invisible. Mm-hmm. Like making sure that all of that happens is just the background work of the actual day itself.
Oh, it's a mess. And like when a day goes by so quickly, right? So I brought the kids to school and to daycare today, and I was working from home. I had to take time to do our taxes because if I don't take time during the day, they're not getting done at night. Because it's like totally. When the kids are home from school, then I'm the snack butler, the drink butler, and then making dinner, usually also embarrassingly a separate meal for the kids than for Shane and I, because, you know, we want to eat something spicy or whatever. And then the whole bedtime fiasco, which brings me sometimes until 8:00. And I'm like, what am I getting done at 8:00? What am I getting done? Like maybe once every 3 weeks, I'm going to get on the Peloton. Maybe I'm going to, you know what I mean? It's like, maybe I'm going to read some of my like fairy romance books, but I just want to pass out. I don't have the capacity to do freaking anything.
No, and my thing is, like, by the time that happens, if I sit down, mm-hmm. it's bad. I'm out for the rest of the night.
Oh, same.
I'm not getting back up.
No, why would I?
The exhaustion hits when you take that little bit of a rest. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't do anything else.
No, it's nuts. And I often think, like, where the pressure comes from. Because, like, Shane's not putting pressure on me. I'm definitely putting pressure on myself. But it's like, where am I getting that from? Is it because other moms I talk to, they're like, I don't want this pressure. So I wonder if it's from my childhood. Like, my mom did do so much because my dad traveled to work. So she literally did everything. Like, she was in university while my brother and I were toddlers, like going to university classes during the day, coming home, taking care of us, bringing us to classes sometimes if she had a night class. Like, it was nuts. But I'm wondering, like, where that comes from. Where do you think it comes from for you? Like, that pressure to kind of do so much and do it all.
Yeah, like, I don't know if we put that on ourselves or if that comes from, like you said, like, my mom also, like, she got her master's when she was pregnant with my brother, and then she did her PhD as a single mom of three.
Get out.
I know. Like, setting the bar.
Get out. Good for I know. Her. Oh, my
She's
God.
A powerhouse. So maybe it's from that. Like, maybe it's from witnessing that. And or I feel like societal pressures. Like, it's when I talk about having a village, like, I had someone be like, oh, that's privilege. And I was like, I agree that I have the ability to, like, that my village, some of the pieces of that and components mm-hmm. of that, for sure. But I think you can build a village to support yourself no matter what. And we were not meant to do this alone. Like, if you look at other, like, past times and other places in the world, people are not raising their children alone.
And they're not going to work all day and
working a job. Exactly. Like, they're not going out to work 40 hours a week, if not more, mm-hmm. and also raise their children all by themselves. That is not a thing.
No.
And there's beauty in having a village. And I say a village lightly because that looks different for literally every person. But I just think we are so slow to accept help. And why? Like, my friends, my family, people will be like, hey, let me know if you need anything. And it's always like, yeah, it's almost like the, hey, how are you doing? Oh, good. Like, it's like your response
is, yeah, thanks. You're about to burst into flames.
But no one takes action ever. And I don't know why we feel so bad for asking for help, but I think it's important to change that because, like I said, like, we were made to live together and to help mm-hmm. each other as a community. And it's kind of a shame that there's this underlying pressure to just do it yourself.
Yeah. And so other book club, actually, friend Renee put up a reel. And I think she was saying how the Uber Eats guy is in her village. And I'm like, yes. Like, that spoke so hard to me. And that's a part. So, like, I had grocery delivery. I rarely do groceries. So I had Instacart delivered tonight. And to me, to not go to the grocery store with two kids who are going to make it take an hour longer than it needs to, who are going to put, you know, 50 extra things in my cart. If I'm paying somebody $30 to do that for me, that is that time is worth that $30. 100%. So to have that, I was like, it was a couple, cute, like, young couple that was delivering tonight. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. And they, like, gave me a really nice hello. We had a nice little chat at the door. And I was like, they are so in my village. Like, this is all a part of it. And maybe that is a privilege thing because you got to pay for that. But at the same time, I'm home making money. So I, like, if I leave, then I can't make the money. You know what I mean?
Totally. And even, like, a good example too is I take my daughter to the Early On here.
I love Early On.
I think there's Early Ons everywhere, yeah, I'm learning, which is so cool. And when you tend to go on similar days, like, sometimes you see similar people. Mm-hmm. And I used to, like, always keep to myself. And if I had to go to the washroom, I'd bring Callie with me to the bathroom and keep her on my lap and try to pee while holding my 1.5-year-old toddler who wants to touch everything. And by the time I'm done peeing, I'm sweating from the workout of trying to keep myself from touching everything in the bathroom. And last week, I was at the Early On playing, and I was chatting with a mom who had kind of like her kid was playing with Callie. And I was like, do you mind if I just run to the washroom really quick? And they're like, yeah, like that is creating a village. And that is, you're supposed to be able to meet your natural own needs, like taking a piss without having to question 100%. Asking for a
100%. But I like that example because I like that it's like such a micro scale of it. You know what I mean? It's not having, like, I'm lucky that I have my parents that live 3 blocks away and they help out a lot. That's like a macro thing. Like, that's a huge thing. But that asking somebody to just watch your kid while you go take a piss, that's tiny, but it's actually so impactful.
And like, here I am talking about it now, remembering. You know what I mean? That person probably doesn't remember at all. But it's like, I would do that for somebody. Oh, or like, God, if somebody is crying or something, like, I'll try to help them out. And it does take stepping outside of your comfort zone and asking. Like, mm-hmm. we don't want to ask for that help because I think we've glamorized doing it all. Yeah. Like, you can have it all. You can do it all. It's like this thing that people aspire to be and to do. But why? Like, for what?
Why wear yourself to the freaking ground? Like, wear yourself out. You know what I mean? For what? What are we racing towards? Like, there's really no... And then what happens when we burn out? Like, that's going to look different. I had a bad experience last Friday. Went out with a girlfriend who I haven't seen in 5 years. Maybe that's... I haven't seen her because I rarely go out. Like, I literally go out for our book clubs. And then I go out with Shane. And that's it. Like, I don't go out with friends. So I saw a friend that I hadn't seen for ages. And then I ended up going to her house. We were up late talking on our couch. But I'm like, is this a weird burnout thing? It's like my first time going out in ages to my friend's house. And like, I don't know. Like, I felt it was selfish. But it was all these like bad things. But I'm like, that's not like me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not the type of person to do something like that. I don't know.
And I don't think you say it's selfish, but I don't think that's selfish. Like, that is also meeting a natural need that you have for human connection. And yes, we're connected to our kids. Yes, we're connected to our spouses. But having relationships outside of your family is important.
Oh, it is.
And so you haven't had that in a long time. And also you're tired. And also you're overworked. And also it's late. Like, that is a reasonable thing to happen. You might feel embarrassed by that, but I don't think you should feel bad for that.
If we're all rushing to do everything, we burn out. That puts us at a lower place than we were during the process of the burnout. And then we have so much more to climb back up from. You know what totally. I mean?
And I think the hard part is a lot of that is also invisible. Like, a lot of that other people are seeing. So from the outside, someone might be like, oh my gosh, look, like, Alex is doing all these things. She's, you know, such a good wife and such a good mom, and she's working a lot and she's doing all of these things. And they don't actually know what's happening. And I think that's why it's so important to talk about how hard it can be.
100%.
Other people that are hiding that and other people that are holding that in and are on their way to burnout are not going to feel comfortable with actually sitting in those feelings and talking about them because they feel like it's because they see everyone else living these perfect lives and doing these perfect things. And motherhood is lonely.
It absolutely can be. It absolutely can be. And then with the pressure to be, I think, not just do it all, but to do it well and to kind of be perfect in a lot of ways, like, you know, perfect at your job, a perfect mom, a perfect spouse. It's obviously impossible. And you make mistakes and you learn from those mistakes. Like, even so tonight, actually, like before bedtime, my daughter, like, Lucy is she's highly sensitive. She really feels things and she's a perfectionist. She hates making errors. And I'm like, oh, honey, I make mistakes all the time. Like, you see that? Come on. Like, mommy is a total mistake maker. It's okay. But a Weed Man, you know Weed Man, that company?
Yeah.
They've come freaking knock on the door. I'm dealing with something else, so I don't even hear the knock. And Lucy just goes, I'll get it for you, mommy. Goes and runs and opens the door. And next thing I know, there's just a man standing at my door, and I didn't even hear the knock. So I kind of had a moment of a freak out. And I go, Lucy, why'd you open the door? And I look at him. I see the Weed Man shirt. I'm like, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, Lucy. But honey, we don't open the door to strangers. And then this freaking guy goes, yeah, I could have been bad. And I'm like, don't say that.
He says that? Stop.
He was like a young guy. I think he was trying to be helpful. He was like in his 20s. No.
Not helpful, sir.
But Lucy just burst into tears. She started crying for she continued crying for about 45 minutes. And she just kept saying how she didn't know and she felt so bad doing that. And I was like, Lucy, it's okay. Because look, ultimately, you did that. But now we know not to open the door to strangers, right? And like, I was never mad at her. But she couldn't put up with making a mistake. How do you put up with making mistakes in motherhood or like relationships, things like that? Like, are you able to kind of brush them off, or are you like Lucy, where they really sit with you?
1,000,000% like Lucy. And it's something that I'm trying to work on, but I am a perfectionist. I don't know why. I don't know what has led me to be like that. But if I make a mistake, like, I'm so harsh on myself, and I'll find myself like speaking so poorly to myself.
Yeah.
And might be like, don't say that. Like, I'll be like, I'm such an idiot. I'm so stupid. I say all these terrible things. He's like, would you say that to anybody else? I'm like, no, I would never. Like, that's so mean. But here I am telling myself that I'm all of these things. And I think that negative self-talk has like long-term impact.
I think so.
In those moments, I can't stop. Like, I can't help it. If I forget an appointment or I miss it, today I missed a deadline. Like, today I had something due and I'm going to go home and finish it, but it's past 5 o'clock. Like, I had to message my manager and just be like, look, I'm so sorry, but like, I don't have any capacity to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And all day I've been thinking like, how dumb am I? And I've been trying, like, every time I have like 30 seconds, I'm like, oh, here we go. But it's just like, we have a million pressures. Like, I can't skip swimming lessons with my kids because you know what I mean?
Of course.
And I get upset about it. I'm like, Lucy, I will cry for 45 minutes thinking that I'm the biggest idiot in the world.
I do that too. I cry. I was going to ask you what your outlet is, or like your coping mechanism. Cause I was like, mine is that I cry and I blubber and I like, but like sob. I will sob. And I'm such a happy person, but I'll sit there and I'll just like, my shoulders will be bouncing up and down and I'll be sobbing. and then seeing Lucy today really broke my heart in half. Cause totally. I totally understood what she was feeling. Even though like, I'm telling her, I'm like, Lucy, come on, like, you're smart. It's okay. Yet, like you said, I'm not talking to myself like that. I'm being so hard on me.
Yeah. And I don't know why we do that. Like, it's so terrible and it's so awful.
It is terrible.
And look at us even here. Like, I think so highly of you and you just said such things about me. But here we are like shit talking ourselves.
I know. I think as women – and especially women who are like online for work and things like that, I think there are so many ways in which we have gotten better at, you know, our own self-perception, things like that. Like, I've gotten more comfortable with just me and like how I look and how I present myself. Ooh. But then in these ways, when it comes to me making mistakes, either as like a person or as a mom, or if I'm to blame for like, you know, a fight that I get in with Shane, and I'm like, oh, I know that I'm guilty. Those are the things that I still have a hard time about. Because how do you talk about those things openly? I think there's less support for those because they're more embarrassing, or they feel more embarrassing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we feel like bad about it or shameful or like we don't want other people to know that. But like, look at us even relating now.
No,
100%. And I think that's why we have to be more like open about those things. I remember when I started sharing a bit of our life online, I would like push all the dishes to one side of the island and film this piece. And then one day I was like, who am I kidding? I can't be the only person that has a messy house. So I shared like an Instagram versus reality. And so many people were like, thank you for sharing this. Like, it makes me feel not so bad and not so alone. And I started being like, wow, like, there is connection in sharing and there's connection in storytelling.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be shameful of sharing these things because I want to know what other people are feeling, the things that I feel bad about, because I don't feel so alone. So why would we not reciprocate that? You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. And even having this conversation, honestly, is cathartic because I do think it's so important. Ariana, I don't know if you have your phone with you. Do you? Yeah. I just sent you pictures. Speaking of messy house, I took these for a different reason today. This is three different areas of my house. Okay. The kids, first of all, the laundry. That's my fault. The laundry is my fault and Shane's fault. Don't even know how to wrap my head around that. But then the kids decided to use all the cushions as stepping stones because they didn't want to touch the floor. And then they put their little play kitchen, their little play market out in the middle of the hallways, dishes in the sink, like everything is everywhere. And this is what I'm going to do, you know, when we're done hanging, which I appreciate this because I feel like it's a nice procrastination. But it's like, then I don't go to bed. I got to wash my hair tonight. I do want to read at least one chapter. Yeah, it's a hair wash night for me. Like, I'm greasy as hell. And there's, and that's like a form of self-care that you have to do. If you're not showering, if you're not washing your face, if like, you really need to check it. And I know that a lot of women get caught up in that in like the early days postpartum.
Totally.
And it is so beneficial to not let yourself get caught up in that because that is so hard.
Because if you're agreed. Not, like, and I was stuck in that for a while. Like, oh, I remember postpartum days and just being like I remember one time Mike coming home from work and I was just bawling. I was like, all I want is a shower. And he was like, what is wrong with you? Like, go shower then. But I think we add these pressures too. Like, if I had just said to him, even like 3 days before, mm-hmm. like, hey, I really would like to shower today. Could you make sure to, that you can be with the kids for 20 minutes? Yeah. Like, he would. 100%. But we just, we feel these pressures to not impact other people's lives or not mm-hmm. make them change their schedule so that we can do something for ourselves. But these are necessities.
Yeah, it's bullshit. If we're not showering because we're scared to ask, and again, I say this from a place of I was there too, like there's something wrong, right? Okay, Ariana, I want to switch because I want to ask you. So you've got the basically 3 under 3, or you had 3 under 3 for a while. Again, in my mind, you are a calm, seasoned mom, okay? So I've been struggling with freaking Betty, my sweetie. Like, she's 3. She's going to be 4 somehow. She still seems like she's 2. But she's, like, a total sweetheart to everybody. Yet, with Shane and I, she has a crazy temper. And it's like if she doesn't get something her way, she goes into hysterics. This happened to us in the airport, which I was shocked because she usually doesn't do it in front of other people. But she had a 30-minute tantrum in the customs lineup in the airport. And like I'd go in and be like, okay, sweetie, like we have to move. And I go to pick her up and she would scream, stop touching me, stop touching. And I'm like, ah, don't say that.
No.
It was so embarrassing. It was so bad. But she does this once a day at home, whether it's we're trying to leave out the door for school or I'm trying to get them to bed or it's like dinner time. And I found myself like raising my voice, but like never mean, never yelling at them, but like a firm voice raise and being like, this is the boundary. And then Shane and I were talking and he's like, oh, maybe try it without the voice raise. And I have been, it's like going on, you know, like maybe like a month now of me not raising my voice and not even having a super firm tone. And then I found Shane yesterday because I was trying to keep my tone like so normal and so nice that Shane had the firm tone and the high voice raise for the first time in his life. And I was like, see, one of us has to do it. One of us has to be the firm person. But what's your take on that and like handling those kind of behaviors? Because I feel like all your kids must be kind of at some level of it right now.
Yeah. So I have a child that's exactly like that. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating because he's exactly like me. He does these things and Mike will look at me and I'm just like, oh, yeah. Which is kind of hysterical and also so annoying at the same time.
Of course.
I am not an expert by any means and I'm trying so hard to figure it out. I'm trying a million different things because mm-hmm. meltdowns are outrageous. The thing about twins too that's so hard is like one will go through that stage and then get better. And then the next one is like,
they don't just do it at meltdown. The same time.
Sometimes it's the same time, but mm-hmm. it's always like when one gets better, then the other one's like, where that one was. And you're just like, I thought I was in the clear, and you're not. So meltdowns are so difficult. Mm-hmm. And it depends on the child, because my children are very different. You wouldn't know they were twins if I didn't tell you. It's wild. They don't even look alike at all. But one of them needs firmness and like needs a no, this is the way that it's going. Mommy and daddy are keeping you safe and we love you. And this is why this is happening. The other one, you cannot reason with. It doesn't matter if I like nothing, there's no changing his mind, to the point where like if his water bottle is here and I've moved it an inch over and that's what he's crying about, he will not stop until I put the water bottle back exactly where he wants.
That's Betty.
And it's so aggravating as a parent, especially as a parent of multiple children, because your other children have needs and like your schedule has to go on. You know what I mean? As a working parent, like you guys have to deal with it. But like we had mega meltdowns at swimming lessons, for instance, for the first few weeks. He was just absolutely screaming. He only wanted me to put his water wings on, but the swim instructors are supposed to do it. And I was like trying to be firm and trying to be like, no, like this is what we have to do. But I'm like, is it worth the 2 hours of crying? Mm-hmm. Or do I give it? And I don't know what, I'm still struggling with what the right answer is. Mike's always like, no, because then we're teaching him that he can just have his way and he'll continue to do this. But at the same point in time, I'm like, so then for how long do I have to deal with hours on hours on hours of screaming with no resolution?
That's my problem too. Cause I'm like with Betty, it's, you know, I'm trying to get to work. I'm trying to get her daycare. I'm like, I'm going to be late and I'm going to be in trouble. We need to go. So it's like, I can't, I'm going to pick you up still screaming, put you in the car, try to hold her down as I'm getting the seatbelt on her. And you know, like cats, you try to hold a cat down. She's like that. But
so they're so strong.
Oh my gosh. Like nothing is stronger than an angry toddler. Like
truly, and trying to get them in the car seat.
Oh my God. Like they take on like superhuman strength. Like they are out of a comic book when that happens. It doesn't make any sense to me. But it's like, what's the like, I'm just gonna sweet talk her and try to reason with her this whole time. It's like, no. But I am trying. But then clearly Shane had to step in with the firmness. But it was like, it's so weird. And I think it's a good thing ultimately just to always kind of try to keep it lower. And then when you do need to be firm, it hits even better. You know what I mean?
Agreed. Yeah. And I'm trying to get to that, like to talk calmly to them. I do a lot of like breathing techniques with them. I posted one a little while ago that, like we blow out my candles. And like now when they start to get upset, they'll tell me, like they'll say, I need to blow out your candles. So it's like their way of knowing that they can like breathe when they're upset. But I think it's just a difficult thing. I like follow all of these parenting accounts online and I'll read these stories of like my kid was having a meltdown and I just sat with them and really reasoned. And sometimes in the moment I'm like, I know that what they're saying is for me to do this, but I can't.
No. And honestly, even a lot of the expert accounts that I've spoken with, you know, on this podcast that I follow, everything like that, it's like, I feel like a lot of it is ideal situations, right? This is the ideal that we can hopefully aspire to, but it's not the reality. And I can, I would bet my life that it's not even the reality for those experts all the time.
I know, it's so difficult because you're like, okay, if this worked for them, like, why isn't it working for me? And then you have your other children's needs to meet. Like, I can't just, like, if it's dinner time, I can't just focus 2 hours on this screaming child to sit calmly with until he stops crying. My other children need to eat and have a bath and get to bed in the span of an hour and a half.
That's why I end up giving, like, little Halloween candies to Betty and just be like, stop it. Here's a Kit Kat. And then just bribe her with that so I can get on with life and with my night. Because it's just – it's so hard.
Sometimes it's just survival. And I think that's, like, an important thing to note, too. Like, we can aspire to be these perfect parents. What does that really mean, you know? Mm-hmm. I think we love our children and we – are there for them and they know that they are loved, then that's winning.
I agree. And survival is a lot of times a big show of love. And if we're trying to always do the good thing, then that's freaking good. Like, that's so good. As long as we know what we want to do, we have like kind of a goal in mind and we're trying to be the best parents we can be. That's the most I think you can ask for.
I totally agree.
So, Ariana, I have some questions that some listeners wrote in for us tonight. So usually when we do the mailbag segments, that's what you're joining me for right now. So listeners write into Shane and I, and then we together answer the questions, but they knew you were joining tonight. So we are going to do the mailbag segment together. And yay. I'm going to start with the first question, okay?
Okay.
What are your favorite things about yourselves and the least favorite? These questions can be about anything, by the way. But
First off, why do I get weird when I think about something that I like about myself?
That's not good. So you put this.
Why?
It comes back to the conversation. It's like the down talking we do when we make mistakes sticks with us, and then we get embarrassed to say something good. It's like when we can't take a compliment from somebody else, and we're just like, yeah, you too. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
What's your favorite thing about yourself, Ariana? I'm gonna learn about you tonight.
I think my favorite thing about myself is I think that I really like to take time to talk to strangers. Like in the grocery store line, I'm never just like quiet to myself. I like love to just like say hi to someone and see how their day is going. Stop and those it. Interactions are very yes. meaningful to me. And I think that's something, yeah, that I like.
I was going to say, I like that I can talk to anybody. I was going to say
this. I love it.
I couldn't tell if you could tell the second you started saying that. I just started to get excited. I was like, no way.
Oh my gosh. But
it is nice. And bringing it back to creating your own village, those little interactions with people that are, you know, other than maybe being lonely at home, other than your kids, other than your spouse, they're nice. And those little interactions fill my cup. And if it's like, I know the same cashier at the grocery store that I go to, and then we can, you know, talk a little bit. It's like still pretty surface, but just a little bit deeper. It's so nice.
Yeah. And you start learning about each other, and that just creates your community. Like we live in a smaller town, and I just love that you run into similar people, you get to know each other, you have these interactions, mm-hmm. and like, that's something that's so special, I think.
Yeah. No, I think that's awesome. And now, Ariana, unless it's too heavy, least favorite or something that you struggle with. Not least favorite, because I can get real deep, but something you struggle with about yourself.
Something I struggle with for sure, we talked about a little bit, is perfectionism. Like, I want everything to be perfect. I want to be, like, the best I can be at work and to be the best wife and to be the best mom and to have, you know, to work out all the time and bake all the things. And it's like, I remember after I had the twins, I saw a therapist, a trauma-based therapist, because my birth was quite traumatic with them. And something she said to me has stuck with me forever. I kept saying like, I'm just really trying hard to find balance, because I had started working a little bit at that point in time. And she laughed at me. And I was like, so put off by it. And I was quite like offended.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you laughing at? And she was like, she was actually a really good therapist, because she kind of pushed a little bit. And she said, you will always fail if that's what you're searching for. Balance is unachievable in your life, because no two things are ever going to be equal. It wasn't that I couldn't have this, quote, balanced life or feel, but it was that I would never will have true balance, because no two things will ever be equal. And she was like, you have to start looking to achieve a blend of those things, and knowing full well that like, some days your laundry isn't going to be done, but you'll have done really well at work. And some days you're going to be the best mom you can be and have these great mom moments, but maybe your relationship won't have been prioritized as highly that day. And so I really try to give myself more grace in that, but it's difficult. So perfectionism is my
least. Sounds like a nice therapist. That sounds like I have never met a good therapist. I tried to go to one for PMDD and it was like a nightmare. And we had 15 minutes left and she started asking me about like scheduling the next session. I'm like, you already want my money? Like you're already on the money phase? Get out of here. I have never met – I hope you still have her number, because she sounds like a keeper.
She retired.
Oh, no. See, my cousin has a good one too, and she freaking retired. And she pushed. So you need these old school therapists, I think, that aren't scared of like pushing the boundaries, because the new ones, they're all just too gentle. I hate that.
Yeah, she wasn't scared of offending me. And I was like, at first, I was like, oh my gosh, I do not. And now, like, I'll remember her forever.
That's amazing.
Valuable information. So what about you?
Okay, so when I get overwhelmed or upset or angry or there's conflict of any kind, I shut down. I shut down and I'm just like, I feel frozen in space and time. Like I'm so overwhelmed that I don't even know what step to take first. And then I just kind of go still and silent. And that's like for so many situations. And it's so at odds with the chattiness of my personality and how, like, I don't know, I think I'm friendly. And just with that side of my personality. So it's like, if it's positive, I'm so good. But if something happens that's negative or overwhelming in any way, I'm just like, blank slate, shut down. I don't know what to do. It's not productive. How can you be productive like that? It's the worst, right? It's so bad. So I need to get over that because that adds, it creates a lot of stress for me.
For sure.
Yeah. So it's hard because then it's like, I can't get too stressed because then I'll like get to that kind of overwhelmed spot. And then I get to that overwhelmed spot and then I can't do anything. So got to figure that out. Yeah, it is. So I think for me, it's like, the need to tackle things in little chunks and just learn ways to help myself to stay on top of things, like better calendar keeping, note keeping, reminders everywhere, stuff like that.
What helps me always when I'm feeling really, really overwhelmed with things, tonight, for instance, on my way here, before I got in my car, I was like, if I write it out, like if I make a list, then it eases my mind. It's almost like it, as long as it's written. So I just like have an ongoing note in my phone and that helps me because then it's not living up here. Like then it's living on paper or in a phone.
I agree. No, that it helps so much. And I even bought like a little journal so that I could write down appointments, things like that, but physically. Because when I do it physically, that seems to even take it a step farther than putting it in my phone. And I love it so much. I love it so much.
I love that.
Okay. Next question. What is the hardest part of parenting in your opinion?
Oh, the hardest part of parenting, in my opinion, is dividing time. I want to provide like one-on-one time to all of my children. And I think maybe as a twin parent, that's why it's like my main hardest challenge because I've felt it from the moment that I was pregnant, you know, like the moment I found out, I was like, how are they both going to know that I love them? How am I going to be able to share that with both of them? If one needs me more one day, even to this day, I go to bed like every day being like, oh, does Oscar love him if I spent more time with Axel? Or does Callie know I love her if I was with the twins more?
Aww.
So it's just like, yeah, division of time is so difficult for me.
Yeah, no, that is really tricky. I would say for me, at the age that my kids are, it's watching them hurt over things, whether it's like they fall and scrape their knee, that kind of hurt, or whether it's like, oh, I had a bad day at school. Why? Well, so-and-so didn't want to play with me. And that breaks my heart, right? Like I've seen kids in kindergarten classrooms. They're getting mad at each other every 2 seconds. They're all over the place. But it kills. Like I hate hearing it from their perspective because it's just so sad. And I just want to always take that pain away. And then that gives me a weird guilt too. I'm like, why aren't they efficient enough at handling their emotions better? Is this on me? And it's like, no, it's not on you. This is them developing their emotions and their social skills. So, but yeah.
It's hard to remember that though. Like
Oh my God, it is.
Totally resonate with that because like one day Axel had been acting out quite a bit for like actually a few weeks at school. And one day he came home and was like, oh, like my friends weren't playing with me. And I honestly was like, distraught like for a few days I was like not well and it's like we take on our children's pain. It's so, it made me be like, why would anyone ever want to be a parent? It's so painful. Like it's so wonderful, but there's so, then I started thinking of all the bad things that could happen to them and like, yeah, it's wild, the emotional roller coaster of being
but the good times then somehow overtake all the tough times, and that's what makes it ultimately worth it. But it is so freaking hard. Okay, the next question. 9-minute parenting theory. Alex has spoken about the 10-minute miracle before, but have you guys heard of this, and do you think it makes sense? So Ariana, do you know what this is?
No, what is it?
Okay, so I have spoken about the 10-minute miracle before, but I think Big Little Feelings, that account, introduced us to it on this podcast. So that's why my listeners know it. But I did see that it was in the news again. So a mom went viral on TikTok because she was talking about how you only need 9 minutes a day, 10 minutes according to the other people, of one-on-one completely undisturbed time with your kids for them to feel whole and like you love them and all that. 9 minutes completely undisturbed. That's like not looking at another person, not looking at your phone, not even acknowledging another person in the existence. And that 9 minutes can go so far. So what's your take on that? Do you think that makes sense? Do you think?
I love that. I would like to know the science behind why it's 9 minutes and not five or not 20. Like, yeah. I don't understand the 9 minute part, but I do think like that the biggest challenge for me is having individual time. I think especially having children close in age, it's so mm-hmm. difficult
yeah.
to have even 2 minutes undisturbed or uninterrupted with each child individually. Mm-hmm. Like, I try to always spend lots of time with all of the kids, yeah. like outside with no phone or no, you know, anything else. But I kind of love that as a goal, like to spend 9 minutes with each kid. And I would be interested to see what effect or impact that has on each of them and my relationship with them.
No, it's interesting. It's funny because I hear things like this getting brought up all the time. I have no idea, like you, why it's that certain amount of minutes. But I like the idea of ensuring that, like, you're not playing with them while something else is playing on in the background and you're, like, parenting somebody else. But it's, like, that just totally zeroed in focus time. And I do think yeah. there's something to that. And we've done it before. Like, I'm not timing anything. But I do know that if there is absolutely zero going on and I'm totally focused, honed in on what the kid is doing, it does obviously have, like, a way better impact on their happiness and like general, you know, smiliness than if I'm not. And like, I'm like doing five yeah. things at once, because you're always doing five things at once as parents.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. I think one of the goals that Mike and I have set now that the kids are like a little bit older and at like a stage that they are interested in doing like other activities is to, we haven't set exactly how often, but for each of us to have individual time with each of the kids, like to go out and do something that they want to do. And it could be something simple, like getting a hot chocolate at Starbucks or something. Yeah. Maybe not Starbucks, but getting a hot chocolate anywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe. or like going for a walk or going mm-hmm. for a bike ride, like something that they want to do that's a little bit special that maybe you wouldn't do always, just individually with them. Because I think in those settings, when they're really feeling special, like they get to do something special, that's when they're open to sharing and 100%. Talking about what's happening in their life. And that's when they're really interested in connecting with you, I think.
No, absolutely. I love that so much. And Ariana, we actually kind of touched on the other question. So I'm going to just go right to the very last one. Okay. What has been your favorite DTR book club book? And will the book club keep going after Renee's pick? Because I think, is Renee's last?
Is it?
It might be. We've all hosted. Yeah. Hers is the last one. Okay,
so well, I think it should keep going on. I think we just take a turn.
I'm assuming we're going to continue. That's what I think.
I don't think it's over yet because even just selfishly, it's nice to connect with all of you.
100%. No, I love it. And like, I love the drive out to Guelph, honestly. I'm used to it now. I was scared of it at first because it's so dark, but I'm into it.
Oh, I'm so glad. My favorite, there's been a lot of books that I didn't like, which kind of sucks because I feel like there's a lot of like high ratings of books and I get so excited to read them. And then I'm like, what a letdown. But I would say Fourth Wing is my favorite. And that is so weird because I was like, I'm never reading a dragon book or
you were making fun of me and Brittany having this conversation.
I still kind of make fun of you a little bit because I still think it's a little freaking weird. But I loved that book. Like I was into it.
It's so good. It was so good. It was fun. You know, it was my favorite one too. It was my pick, but I only picked it because Brittany Ostafy, who's also in our book club, she was like, Alex, I think you're going to like this. So I was like, all right, I'm choosing it. Let's all read it. And I had so much fun with it. And she got me into a whole genre of books that I didn't even know existed. And I'm so down. Now, Kayla, our other book club member, she's like, her and I are sending memes to each other every day of like these like fairy romance. She loves it. And yeah. I love it for her. But yeah, hell yeah. I hope it keeps going. I want to keep – like, I want to have, like, five more book choices of my own. And I haven't even started reading Renee's book, but I think it's going to be really good.
Okay, so this might actually be my favorite. I'm not done it yet, so I feel like I can't say that it is. Yeah. I really like this one. I was like, how is it going to be when it's like, you know, kind of like a, like it's not.
Mm-hmm. Not fiction.
Yeah. Or, yeah. It's amazing. It's a little bit crazy. It's a little bit wild. Like, I'm kind of like, whoa, this discussion's maybe going to be a little next level. I told him maybe we should have some Naked Bachelorette vibes, have some penis straws.
Oh, that would be fun. I like
that idea. I'm like, so we're all wearing lingerie to this club.
We can't air it. We just have to like air it with like a big like censored blurred thing. I do have a program.
But it's actually a wild story. I didn't know anything about this person. And like, I find myself like, Mike will come upstairs to bed and I'll be like, oh my gosh, did you know that this happened to her?
See, I cannot wait. I'm waiting until I finish a book I'm currently reading. Oh, my one thing just died. I'm waiting until I finish the one book I'm doing, because I'm reading two books in tandem right now. Which is
Brittany does that all the time. I don't know how you guys do that.
Well, these are two books from the same story too. So it's like,
how do you do?
Anyway,
that's wild.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, it's fine. Like, my brain is like in it now. I'm okay. But when these two books are done, then I'm going to move on to the Jen Jameson one. And I am so excited because I read a book from another adult film star, Ron Jeremy. Do you know him?
No.
Oh, my God. See, you are a little bit younger. I have the book somewhere. The bookshelf is right beside me. He just look him up after this just to see what he looks like. But he was one of the most famous male adult film stars for many, many years. And his book is wild. And that was a really fascinating read. Like, pretty gross, but fascinating. But I'm excited to read Jenna Jameson's too, just being from – she was huge. She was so famous too. Like, crazy. She was – I knew her name like as a kid who like was so innocent. Like, I just knew her name. She was in the lexicon. You know what I mean? So I'm excited. Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't know anything about her. But I'm like reading the story. I'm like, it's like tragic. Yeah. And also wild. Like, I just can't even believe – no. That this happened.
All right. So folks listening to this, make sure you tune into the next DTR book club also meeting, because we're going to be talking about this.
And read the book.
Hell yeah. But Ariana, thank you so much. Seriously, like, for coming out to the office where you have good internet, for getting a babes, like all of that. It truly means so much. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I've had so much fun. And I usually just talk to Shane on these things. So it's so nice to be able to, you know, have a pal on. It doesn't feel like an interview. It just feels like a chat.
Yeah. It's so nice to connect. Like I said, there's so much power in storytelling and in connection. And I think this is like exactly what I needed today, to be honest. Oh, so
same.
Thank you.
Same. And tell us when your podcast is getting released and the name of it again, so that people can keep their eyes and ears open.
Yeah. So I haven't even announced this yet.
Oh,
so
you haven't?
No.
Do you want me to cut it, or is that okay?
No, when is this going to air? That's fine.
Tomorrow. No, 2 days.
It'll air. Well, I think it's fine. I don't know.
I think it's fine. Get them pumped up. They don't have to know anything. They just know what's coming.
Yeah, I think it's fine. It's going to be called and it's launching on the week of June 4th.
That is so exciting. So obviously, Ariana, a joy to be around. You guys are going to want to listen to this, obviously. So yeah, buddy, thank you so much. I really, really had a joyful, nice conversation. Really appreciate it.
No, thanks so much. I love y'all.
I love you too. Have a good night, buddy.
Have a good night.
Bye. Bye. And folks, thank you so much for listening to This Family Tree Podcast, episode 204.